And if you don't notice, I've got a lot of gear with me. That's for a reason. Okay, one, my memory's not the best. But two, just a lot of things going on. First off, I want to thank all our leaders for Concord. I was blessed to go up to see the youth group. And leaders, please stand from Concord. I know you're tired and exhausted, but some of my guys and some of the ladies are here. I just want to thank you all very much. Hey, you're disobeying the first thing. I'm very disappointed. Okay. I'll be honest, I'm like the centurion when Jesus said, I tell people to go and they go, but I guess not here. Okay. Hey, thank you, men. I appreciate it. Hoorah. Thank you, Teddy. Appreciate it, guys. All right. Hey, what a blessing. You know, to have such life. I came to the King's Chapel in 1 month. It will be 20 years ago. I left active duty, I thought, with the call to go into a full-time ministry. I've told y'all before, we're all called to be ministers of reconciliation. Just some of us have different roles and responsibilities. We're going to talk a little bit about some of those roles and responsibilities today. Hopefully encourage you a little bit. Three things I want to hit on. I'm going to try and follow an outline because, to be honest, I'm so excited and I have so many things to share with you. I want to make sure we hit some of these wickets. First things, if you look at, if you can go to the next slide, please. Okay, what we're going to accomplish today, we're going to talk a little bit about basically, what have I been doing? It was 21 months ago that I was working at the joint staff, and I received a by-name request to go first go downstairs and work on what's called the Iraq cell. Daesh, ISIL, ISIS, the Islamic State, whatever you want to call them, had taken over both Syria and were cutting large swaths into Iraq. In fact, we were concerned that both Baghdad was going to fall, and so we pushed down, and the joint staff, which advised our senior, both military and civilian leaders, we went down there to try and figure out, hey, what's the best thing to do? We were so concerned that Baghdad was going to fall that the largest U.S. embassy in the world, that we reinforced it with some elements, some crisis response elements, as well as some Apaches and then some other forces along the way. Well, leaving the previous October in 2014, came home for a little bit after a year of that, serving as the chief of operations, and then got requested by 3-Star to go back and solve some other problems. I'm also going to provide you with one of my concerns, and I think I don't like just saying problems. I'm also going to give you a vision and a way to resolve that if you also determine it's a concern. And the last time, I'm going to give you a little bit of time for questions because, you know, I believe we should be interactive. Can you go to the next slide, please? We're going to hit four things, and then I want to talk a little bit about what Ben Franklin said. I like some of his quotes. I always try and put somebody else's quote. I'm going to talk about freedom because freedom, whom the sun sets free, you're free indeed. We're celebrating Independence Day. And as Christians, we get to celebrate Independence Day every day. I am no longer a slave to being an idiot. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I now am being equipped and empowered to be the person that I'm called, created to be. I'm pretty excited about that, and so are you. I'm going to tell you about ultimate love. We're going to share a little bit about some of the ultimate sacrifice that goes with love. You realize every time you choose to do the right thing for the right reason at the right time, every time you choose to prefer one another, every time you choose to love one another, you're actually sacrificing a little bit. And that's what we're really called to do. But you know, sacrifice is actually, it's fulfilling. It gives life meaning. It gives life perseverance. That's the last thing I want you to hit with, because sometimes it feels like I'm just don't have anything left to give. How can I go a little bit further? Okay, let's pray, and then I'm going to get us a little bit interactive. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. I pray especially for Dr. Moore and Miss Betty that you would be with them. We thank you for their service and sacrifice. Dear God, I pray for Pastor Jeske as he's away. Dear God, I pray for everyone who's here today that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear. I pray you'd use a goofy Marine to impart your word and to change lives. It's in your precious son's name we pray. Amen. Now, slide number three, please. Okay, Ben Franklin said this, tell me and I forget, Teach me and I remember. Involve me and I learn. I pray that we learn something today. First off, I brought a couple things. Who has it? Can you show me your smartphones? Okay, I'm tired of fighting technology. Okay, show me. Everybody, pull out your. Who has a smartphone? Just please show me your smartphone. You know what? I've learned. Sometimes we fight technology. They tell, hey, turn them off. Do all this other stuff. We need to start using these great devices as tools. Asher, do y'all know my little 7-year-old Asher? Okay, we gave him two tools. One, I believe, to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and body. And so we do certain things every day. We do a little Bible study, but he's 7 years old. And I do a Bible study with my 17 to 7-year-old, four of them. And one of the things we put on it, and Joe Bricky also worked with it, have y'all ever heard of the Bible IS app? Okay, it's Bible.is, and it's really awesome and helpful. You know, have you ever told your kids, hey, go read a chapter, do this? Guess what? They can listen to a chapter. It's a great organization called Faith Comes by Hearing. And so this little buddy, I tell him, hey, in the morning, it's summertime. I'm not going to put the same stringent rules. You can play video games and do all this other stuff. But one, he's got a little Fitbit tracker on him, so you got to give me 5,000 steps and then listen to your Bible, listen to two chapters of your Bible. We're going through the New Testament. So I see him this morning. He's got his Fitbit on, and he's running around listening to his iPod around the house. And he's like, Dad, I'm at 4,000. I'm almost there. And somehow we've motivated this guy. So instead of fighting technology, we're actually using technology. I would ask us that in the world, we're sometimes, you know, have you ever heard that? Chris told me the other day when we were giving a great talk. He said, you know, we're fighting technology all the time. Say, put away your cell phone. Don't do this. You know, we take them away because guess what? You can't be distractions. However, how about can we start using some of this technology? We use this technology, to be honest, every day overseas, and that's some of the things that we help to put together. Okay, what am I concerned with? And I will tell you, my concern is that the Word of God, the ability to be able to stand against every wind and every doctrine, is not being taught and not being absorbed on a daily basis. This was so important that if you read through the Old Testament, they say very quickly, hey, I've hidden your word in my heart. They talk about putting the statutes on their forehead. They read every day. In fact, it was the family's, the father's responsibility to actually talk to their kids every day about the Word of God. And I'm going to answer the so what. Now, the so what is because I believe that every day we're being preached another gospel, a worldly gospel, a humanistic gospel. It's being crammed down your throat. This week at youth camp, and I never thought about it this way. You know, Nick did a great job, and he said, listen, you know, we're going to talk about sex. We're going to talk about God's purpose for it. And I know you may be a little bit uncomfortable, but guess what? We're going to tell you what the biblical desires and God's plan is. But you know what? I'm not going to apologize because every day you're getting bombarded by what the world says is acceptable, by what the world says everybody's doing. Every day you're getting bombarded. So I don't mind taking one day, 1 hour off and share another alternative. You get that information and you do what you want with it. But you're going to at least hear, hey, this is God's desire for you. That blew my mind a little bit because I was a little bit paradigm changing. Okay, so what is being preached today? You ever heard this? Hey, all religions are the same. Let's go to, this is the exact slide we're on. All religions are the same. Hey, as long as you believe it, don't infect anybody else. You know what that is? That's actually pan-worldism. That's what the Romans had. Why were the Christians persecuted? They weren't persecuted for having a religion. They weren't persecuted for having a faith. You could believe whatever you wanted. But the problem was when you said, the way, the truth, the life, when you start to shine that flashlight, and all of a sudden, all the many beliefs started to look crazy. And you know what? When people don't like the spotlight shining on them, they don't like necessarily having to change their actions, hedonism, whatever I want to do, and they rebelled and they turned. I'm going to read a little bit about it. Okay, so Daesh, ISIL. I get called and I sent over. Chief of operations is the guy who runs all the current stuff. So picture a room almost this big and with stadium seatings, and on the front there's big giant screens with like feeds and different things. and you approve strikes, you approve different missions, you change where things are flying, and you apply resources and authorities to solve a problem. Well, here's the issue. I was responsible, and I believe the right man for the job to go do that. Now, I will tell you what's also awesome is that the right woman for the job, i.e. take care of my family while I was gone 12 months so I could focus on the mission, was Sarah Marie Roberts. And I appreciate everyone helping her out. You know, we forget that sometimes, but we could never do what we were called to do unless we're a team. So any of the credit, any of the goofy medals or whatever, and accolades, I tell everybody, my wife is managing and taking care of my family. Now, I did call her twice a day and bother her constantly, but my wife is managing, doing an unbelievable job, and I don't have to worry about that. I can focus on the mission. Now, if you look in this picture, I don't know if y'all know Al-Kasabi, Captain Al-Kasabi. Does anyone know who this is? Raise your hand, please. Okay, I'm going to tell you about Captain Al-Kasabi. Yes, Doug does. Captain Al-Kasabi was part of a coalition, 65 countries. He was flying a mission in Syria. His plane gets down near the Euphrates River. Boom, comes up, personal recovery. We make decisions. Can't go into too much detail, but I've got a Marine trap force that's alerted. We're going forward. And guess what? He is taken capture. He is taken capture by Daesh within, to be honest, minutes of his plane going down. Very intricate network. I was the one responsible to go to send the effects to go save him when he went into harm's way. Do you all know what happened to him later on? This world, every religion is not the same. Every person is not the right. The lies that Daesh, that ISIL, ISIS believe and propagate are disgusting. Some of the things that I've seen on feeds you don't want to see. I've seen people tossed out of buildings. I've seen people get shot in a courtyard. Could not, because there's too many coalitions to actually save someone from getting publicly executed. Kara Mueller, U.S. civilian. Anyone know who she is? Kara Mueller was taken, and I don't want to get too graphic, but was taken and basically became a sex slave for one of them. Yazidis, Christians, anyone who's, quote, not the good, right Muslim faith, were either men shot, women taken. It was so bad that they actually put out a booklet on how to treat your, quote, sex slave. Go to the next slide, please. And this is the importance that I want to bring about today. Peacemakers. You see that man? He was taken captive on 24 December 2014. In February, he was burned alive. The reason I want to bring that up, because it's graphic, it's horrible, but I want to put it in our faith, is why, in our face, what Jesus said so importantly at the Sermon on the Mount. I ask you this week to spend a few, it takes about 15 minutes, sometimes 30 if you read slowly. Read the Sermon on the Mount. It's Jesus' most prolific discussion of how to live life. And in the Sermon on the Mount, he starts with the Beatitudes. And in Matthew 5:9, he says, blessed are the peacemakers. You know what a peacemaker is? Somebody's at war. You shall be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs shall be the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my, Jesus is speaking, name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So they persecuted the prophets who were before you. There is a battle every day that you and I are facing. In this pan-worldly view, everything's okay unless you're exclusive. I will tell you, as long as you say, hey, that's great, everything's wonderful, the sky is beautiful, there's nothing going on, you will not receive any persecution, any challenge. But if we, who are called by Jesus' name, simply say, I'm a Christian, I don't participate in that. I don't do that. You don't have to sit here and embarrass people. But you go, no, that's not for me. You're going to be reviled. Your friends might make fun of you. but you're going to have life in that abundantly. Okay, the next slide I want to go to is freedom. And does anyone know who that is, please? That's Gunnery Sergeant Ryan Jeske. And the Bible is very clear. It says, greater love hath no one than this, to lay down his life for his friends. Ryan Jeske is Bill, our pastor, PBJ's nephew. Catherine's cousin, all, you know, as we see there. And Ryan Jeske was in my youth group, the one I was privileged to lead. Well, he had a hypermarine guy going around. He was always called to be, he was so different. He went into the Marines, and he wasn't just a Marine, he was a MARSOC Marine. And he was in Afghanistan in 2012, and he was trying to help the Afghanis so they could defend themselves. And part of the tactics that they did is they took off their flaks, they took off their helmets, they tried to show, hey, we trust you. And one of the new leaders came out from the Taliban, and he was training, he was actually, you know, paid by the Taliban. He came out and started to shoot him up, and Ryan got in the way. Ryan left a beautiful bride, Sheila, as a widow. One of the toughest things I did was have to come to a funeral here because it made no sense. Here's this unbelievable young man serving, trying to serve the Afghanis. He was murdered. The strange thing is, as I was also, a month later, sent to Afghanistan to be part of a team that helped stop the, quote, insider threat. And one of the things that we realized was that you have two choices at this point. And please catch this as parents, as friends, if you really care about your other friends. You have two choices when you're stuck with an insider threat, when those who you are sent to help are hurting you. You can either push them far away, or you can pull them even closer, but then make sure that you have eyes to see and ears to hear. Parents, I heard something a little distressing, and I want you to be aware of this. Youth, teenagers, don't buy the stage thing. Hey, I'm just going through a stage. I ask you to have eyes to see. There should not be a closed door in your house. And that's something I tell you, because guess what? That's your opportunity to influence. Because once they leave, our influence as parents goes dramatically down. So please be aware. Pull them closer if you're having some challenges with your own children or with others that you're entrusted with. And that's what Ryan did. Now, next slide, please. 21 months is a long time to be away from your family. In fact, Sarah can tell you, one of my great fears was coming home that Bing Bing, Gabriella Marie, my little two-year-old, that she would not, you know, she would not be there. She would, like, think, who's this big guy who's trying to hug me? And it was a genuine concern. When I came home, it was, she's an appendage now. And that fear wasn't. But when I was overseas, I had a little time in the desert alone. And one of the things I prayed about was, would I live purposefully, my priorities, with passion and perseverance? So that's one of my goals. Now, I want to tie a story in with that, because every day we have to redeem the time. A wonderful lady in here told me, she said, listen, I got a birthday coming up. And she told me a number, which I don't remember, but it equals out to 70 years. That's the average lifespan. When I was away 21 months, I was reminded, wow, I need to redeem the time, because each breath, each day is so precious. See this awesome man right now? That's Staff Sergeant Luis Cardin. When I left from Chief of Ops, I went over as a senior Marine in Kuwait. And part of my job was to get the mission and the men to support the Operation Inherent Resolve into Iraq. And we had, from a Marine Expeditionary Unit, we took an Arty battalion and sent them up to northern Iraq to support operations to eventually seize Mosul, counterattack. And we took this unit, and I was basically did all the planning. I sent them in, and then I was the senior person in case something happened that they called. Well, these about 200 Marines went up to northern Iraq, and Staff Sergeant Luis Cardin did what every good Marine does. See, they fired a rocket in, and we had an alert system that we put up on them. Guess what? My job was to make sure to protect the Marines, so we gave them an alert system. I didn't have the counter-battery fire yet that would shoot it out the sky yet, but we put in there. He hears the alert system. He's responsible for a gun team. So he grabs his four Marines, and he's pushing them towards this bunker. And as he throws the last one in, and he starts to go in, the rocket hits. This 27-year-old did what we should be doing for each other, instinctively. And I ask y'all to think about that, because what are we filling our days with? What profits us to be the most successful businessman? My wife, general, what is, that means nothing. Promotion, money, the great college. It's your relationships, both with our Lord and with each other, that matter so much. If we can go on to the next slide, please. Now, I love the Word, and I want to give you some things. So I'm bringing up the Word, and I want to give you some tools. So I use something called Logos. And I use Logos because I consider just as myself as a professional Marine, I'm also privileged to be a pastor. And so Logos is a really neat Bible software that lets me dig a little bit further deeper into it. I can barely read Greek, but going into it, I want to share some things to encourage you today. Now, in that Sermon on the Mount, they went forward, and Jesus starts, and he talks about Beatitudes. And then he comes back a little bit, and he goes to something that I think we've maybe just read, but I want to bring out some new things for you. So in there, and I'm going to read a little bit to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. For what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will he give him just a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to all those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Then he replies, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. The only few who find it. Now, I am privileged to know that some of all of us are going through some rough stuff. I don't know whether it's vocation, sometimes relational, sometimes why you don't feel like, sometimes why won't this work? And when you read this, ask and it shall be given. What, you know what that means? Ask. It's a verb, and it's a present, future. It's called a present, future. Hold on, let me get the right name. Sorry, guys. It is called a present active imperative. Okay, present active imperative. What that means is, it means to keep asking. And it's not just keep asking if you feel like it. Imperative. It is a command. Keep asking. It'll be given to you. Keep seeking, you shall find. Keep knocking, and that door will be open to you. That's something that we just don't exist. Even with my Marines and soldiers and sailors and airmen that I've been privileged to lead, there's one thing that is missing in our present worldview, and that is resiliency. That is the ability to get knocked down and to get back up. Anything worthwhile is worth failing. Did y'all catch that? Anything worthwhile is worth failing. And ask my poor wife, I failed so much. But the greatest compliment that beautiful lady told me was, wow, your time to figure out when you're an idiot and recover is really getting short. So my goal is to be the shortest amount of stupidity I can be. But here's the thing. Do you realize what that means? Marriage is supposed to be that spotlight that we shine on each other so we can become the men and women we're called to be. Hey, sons and daughters, to your parents, they didn't love you. They wouldn't even tell you a thing. They'd let you stumble along. Hey, they'll figure it out eventually. Do you really want that? You think I'd let my son burn his hand the third time? Maybe I'd teach him, correct him. Keep asking. Remember that widow? There was a story of the widow who kept pestering. Well, God loves you. He wants to give you everything. So I ask you to please look at that as you go forward and think about that. And the last thing I want us to go on is I've got 2 points, and I'm not going to read all this, but Jesus, as he finishes this great sermon, looks about this huge mass of people, and he's very clear. He says this. Listen, choice, rock, not rock, sand. Rock, sand, rock, sand. What's he talking about? Drew, what's he talking about, rock, sand? Do you know? Foundation. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. I love you, Drew. I've known him since he was born, you know. Here's the awesome thing, guys. We have a choice. It's not everybody's the same. It's not everybody's okay. Hey, I love everybody. I can overlook sin to love someone, but I don't like people hurting themselves. If I overlook sin to not share for them and say, hey, you keep banging your head against the wall, there's a door just 3 feet away. Think about that. But first and foremost in our life, as you look to go, and you make that choice daily, am I going to continue to be built up in this foundation of Christ? It's a active. It's not just one day I'm saved and everything's fine. I wish that would be that easy, but it's not. Or you can go about the world, because there's one thing I can promise for you, my dear beloved loved ones. There's going to be storms. There's going to be trials. I've married people and they've been divorced. That hurts. I've married people and they're living life and that abundantly. And that motivates me. What's the difference? It's the rock. Can you go to the next slide, please? Look closely at this picture, please. Look closely at this picture. We're celebrating Independence Day. And that freedom that we enjoy so much, the freedom to be able to come together, you realize we would be a target. Bangladesh, Jordan, Kuwait, anywhere in the world, we'd be a target right now. We'd have to post guards and have perimeters just so we could come together. So there's men and women who go overseas, and you know a lot of them, and I appreciate it. I'm not going to embarrass the service members, but I am going to bring up one thing. I want y'all to imagine this, because the same way that this affects me, it's the same way I pray I can lay down my life for you. In 2012, Philip was deployed with his battalion, 1-7, about 800 men. He's deployed in Afghanistan, pretty rough place, to be honest. And to be honest, I was brain damaged. Sarah was taking care of me. I didn't know which way was which. Without Christ, I'll be honest, I isolated. The light affected me. I really didn't know where I was. And there's about 3 years of my life where I don't really remember. That woman, you realize she had every right, if you just go with the reciprocal, well, if he loves me, then I will stay. If he doesn't love me, I will go. I hurt her by this. Sarah will lay down her life. She's got a wonderful servant's heart, but she just wants you not to be grateful. And I was so brain damaged, which thankfully she tells me now. Thankfully, I can say I didn't do it on purpose. But I was so brain damaged that I didn't realize that I just kept saying, well, correcting and whatever, just totally the wrong thing for a servant heart. They came out one time and they said this. They said, hey, you know, this may be it. And I literally cried to her. And she said some words. She said, well, if this is it, you get to spend more time with me and the kids. And that's the personal. Well, during this time when I was pretty brain damaged, Philip called us from overseas and said, please go visit my friend, Jedediah Morgan. He's a double amputee from the legs down. So I go, and I'm in my Charlie's, which is the short sleeve uniform, and I go and I walk into his room. And this kid tries to stand up to come to attention, but he has no legs. And he doesn't even know that he has no legs fully yet, because he's doing that automatically. Because he was a great Marine, and he sacrificed for his country. He sacrificed for his buddies. He sacrificed for the Afghanis, who may or may not even appreciate it. That is not the question. But he sacrificed. I think about that and the privilege it is to put on that Marine uniform and the responsibility it is to have these kids who have given everything and continue devoid of legs to try to do everything. Philip lost 4 of his fellow brethren, friendly killed in action, and 22 wounded in action. 4 double amputees. His MRAP was blown up less than 2 feet away from him. His tire went straight up in the air. You'll never hear him talk about that because he's not going to brag about that. But he was willing to do all for freedom, for love that's greater than, hey, if just your friends love you, if that's only you love, that's nothing. For sacrifice, and he's shown perseverance. This kid right here, he's persevering. Philip said one of the hardest things for him not to do, because we try not to cry as Marines, was at the Purple Heart ceremony, those 4 Marines who were double amputees walked over with artificial limbs to receive their Purple Hearts. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for freedom. Freedom to be able to choose. Freedom to be able to say, I am a believer in Jesus Christ. Freedom to say, I believe in the way and the truth and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through Jesus, your Son. Freedom to say to a world that says, as long as you believe everything, it's okay. To say, no, thank you. Freedom to stand up and to pull men out of fire. Dear God, I ask today that no matter how we feel, that you would help us to see your perfect plan, that you would remind us that to live in your word is to be encouraged and guided daily. I pray, dear God, that we would think a little bit about tomorrow, about these awesome men and women who are standing in the gap so that we can come together today. Dear God, I pray for Jedediah and thank you for his example, that even though we may get delimbed, we can still walk in you. Dear God, I pray for each and every person here that we realize no matter how damaged we may feel, that we are whole in Christ, that we can go forward and bring others into the boat, into life. Dear God, I pray that we would truly live those lives that people say, I want that. In Jesus Christ's precious name, we thank you. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. Wow. Wow, freedom. It's amazing. It ain't free. So we're going to play.